Welcome. I'm Maggie Dawn. You are listening to the Civic Media Radio Network's special live coverage of the Republican National Convention coming to you live from downtown Milwaukee. You may, in fact, be able to hear the numerous helicopter flyovers likely being conducted by the U.S. Secret Service in anticipation of Donald Trump's arrival at the convention this afternoon. He announced yesterday that he would be making an appearance at the convention this afternoon. Civic Media will have you covered. Not only do we have our talk show hosts throughout the day talking all things RNC, but we also have each and every evening special Civic Media coverage from today through Thursday, the entirety of the convention, live from 7 to 8 p.m. across the Civic Media Radio Network. You can also stay up to date with all of Civic Media's 2024 Republican National Convention coverage. You can head over to civicmedia.us/RNC. That's civicmedia.us/RNC. But joining me this half hour, my special guest, Erica Payne of the Patriotic Millionaires, co-author with the chair of the Patriotic Millionaires, Morris Pearl. I love the title of this book, Erica. It's one of my favorite. Tax the Rich, How Lies, Loopholes, and Lobbyists Make the Rich Even Richer. Welcome back to the Maggie Dawn Show, Erica.
Thank you so much, Maggie. I'm so happy to be here.
Great to have you. Let's dive right in, because at the root of this presidential election cycle is a pretty clear question about how to approach taxing the rich. There's just a fundamental difference between President Biden and the former MAGA president. Tell folks what it is and what the Tax Cuts and Jobs Act, which President Trump ushered in, did to the middle class.
Well, absolutely. And Maggie, I'm so happy to be here. And I do want to encourage people to take a look at Tax the Rich, the book, because it breaks down the American tax code in language that is incredibly accessible, easy to understand, and it's not your ordinary textbook. And what we tried to do in the book is explain to people exactly how the American tax code is structured, why it matters, and the problem it currently poses. So the first thing I would say is that I hope your audience really will kind of stop the static, stop the noise, and realize that this election and 99% of politics is about money. And It's whether it's money and how much you pay people or money in the tax system, the two bookends of a strong American economy are a reasonable tax system and a decent wage floor. And the comparisons between the two sides of this political debate could not be starker than in this issue of money. So the past is prologue. This election is about money, and the past is prologue. If you want to know what somebody's going to do, look at what they did before. So in 2017, during when the Republicans had full control of the House, the Senate, and the presidency, There's a way of passing bills that only requires 51 votes in the Senate. It's called budget reconciliation. That is how they will pass a new tax code coming up if they have full control of the government, and how they passed in 2017 when they had full control of the government. Wild radical fact. In 2017, Republicans with full control of the House, the Senate, and the White House rewrote the entire American tax code. In 2018, for the first time in American history, billionaires with a B, paid a lower effective tax rate than every single other group in America. If you want billionaires in America to continue to pay a lower effective tax rate than every single other group of people in the country, you should definitely vote for Donald Trump and the Republican Party in this election, if that's what you want. That's not what our members want. I don't think that's what most Americans want. So they passed what was so interesting. So with the so-called Tax Cuts and Jobs Act, right on its surface, makes you believe that tax cuts lead to do job creation. They cut, among other things, they cut the corporate tax rate significantly. They lowered it from 35% to 21%. Before we get into a whole detailed discussion about corporate cuts do and do not do, let me just say definitively, corporate tax cuts do not lead to job creation. The idea that they do is ludicrous on its face. Corporations are taxed on profits. Profits are calculated after expenses like payroll. So it doesn't even make sense to offer it. Okay. Number two, what most corporations did with their savings and taxes is buy back their own stock. What does buying back your own stock do if you're a company? It increases the value of the stock to shareholders, senior executives, and the CEO. So the Tax Cuts and Jobs Act, among other things, cut the corporate rate significantly for absolutely no reason. Just case in point, Randall Stephenson, the chairman of AT&T, was a huge corporate cheerleader for this. After he said he insisted that AT&T, if given this tax cut, would hire more people. After the Tax Cuts and Job Act passed, they laid off about 8,000 additional employees. So case in point. So that's that. Past his prologue. That's what they did with the corporate tax. On the estate tax, this was another big piece. I want you to keep in mind that what the funders of this tax philosophy and political strategy are attempting to do is eliminate the entirety of their tax obligation. So during the Tax Cuts and Jobs Act, they also increased the deduction for estates. So now if you are an estate, you basically get $22 million. You don't pay an estate tax on it, and they... Right. People with huge amounts of family money, basically the dynasties of the United States, that tax, when it's sent to the kids of millionaires, they never pay tax on that income. Those are just a couple of examples. But let's just dive in a little further. When Republicans took control of the House, the first when switch control, Biden went in, yada, yada, yada. Then Republicans took over the House. Maggie, can you tell me what the very first vote that they took in the House of Representatives when they took over the House? They voted to cut funding to the IRS. What was the increase in funding to the IRS designed to do? To get the $1 trillion of taxes that are already owed to us back. This is not going after anybody new. This is going to get the money that wealthy tax cheats cheated this country out of. And it's about $1 trillion, not according to a Democrat, but according to the former IRS commissioner who was appointed by Trump. So we're losing $1 trillion every day. Okay. And what do they want to do? They want to defund the tax police. Okay. They want to stop going after wealthy tax dodgers. So that was the first vote they passed. So now we're looking at an election about money. We've got proof of what they wanted to do because they've done it before. What are the things that they want to do next? So they rewrote the entire federal tax code. What are their plans to do the same if they have full control of government? We need to look no further than a 900-page document called Project 2025. Now, President Trump has tried to say that he doesn't know much about this project, but guess what? 350 conservatives were involved in writing it. Many of his former administration officials are involved in writing it. This takes radical to a brand new level. They are looking to not just rewrite the American tax code, but to basically blow up the foundation of the American economy. On day one, that is what they proposed. There are a lot of pieces they want to do, which I'm happy to go into. But just case in point, I want you to know that this is not, they are not looking to make small tweaks. They are looking to create a permanent underclass to deliver enormous resources and reshape the entire American tax code to ensure that in a few years, we aren't just dealing with a billionaire problem in America, we're dealing with a trillionaire problem in America. Maggie.
There's two things that I wanted to highlight from your comments, Erica. And the first one is Donald Trump ushered in the lowest effective tax rates for billionaires that has basically ever been seen in modern American history. And that resulted, of course, in billionaires paying a lower effective tax rate than all other Americans. Again, if you want, you know, billionaires to have more billions, go ahead and vote for Donald Trump. The other thing, and this is the way that I like to think about stock buybacks, it sounds like something that's boring. Oh, stock buybacks. Okay. What stock buybacks are, when they are funded by a tax cut like what Donald Trump put in place in 2018, stock buybacks are effectively each one of us, you and me and all of our families, taking cash out of our checking account and handing it to wealthy shareholders and corporate executives. It is effectively a taxpayer subsidy of already for-profit corporations and CEOs that earn way more than any of the rest of us, while they continue, again, to slash middle-class and family-supporting jobs. It truly is an abomination. We're going to have to take a couple of quick messages, Erica, but when we come back, I'm going to be asking my good friend Erica Payne of the Patriotic Millionaires about what Donald Trump proposes to do with even more tax cuts, not just an extension of the 2018 euphemistically named Tax and Jobs Act. Trust me, folks, trickle down ain't a thing. It only trickles up to the wealthiest, I say. Tax work, and if you're going to do that, you better tax wealth just the same. Frankly, I'd like to see wealth taxed a little bit more than work. But let's just start with the basics. I'm Maggie Dawn. She's Erica Payne. We're going to take a couple quick messages. We'll be right back. You're listening to the Civic Media Radio Network and our special coverage of the Republican National Convention live from downtown Milwaukee. Stay tuned, everybody. We'll be back in just a moment. I'm Maggie Dawn. You're listening to the Civic Media Radio Network, our special coverage of the 2024 Republican National Convention live from downtown Milwaukee. My special guest this half hour is Erica Payne of the Patriotic Millionaires. We're talking about money, 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 and how Donald Trump wants to give more money back to the richest of the rich and the most profitable of America's largest corporations. Now, many of the individual income tax provisions of the Donald Trump 2018 tax cuts, including the income and estate tax provisions, are set to expire by the end of 2025. Now, what President Biden proposes to do if elected to a second term is to lock in the income tax reductions for anyone earning less than $400,000 a year. So that's all of us regular people. But what President Biden wants to do is allow the taxes to go back up for those making more than $400,000 a year. I don't know about you. Seems like a pretty gosh darn good idea to me. But there's more. By 2026, the top 1% of households would receive an average of a $48,000 tax cut. Let me tell you what the top percent of U.S. households don't need. An extra 50 G's. They just don't. That's like a rounding error to them. While the bottom 60% of households would receive an average of only a $500 tax cut. Erica, what is going on? Why would Republicans be trying to campaign on basically raising taxes only really on middle-class folks to fund even larger tax cuts for the wealthiest of wealthy, because that's what this ends up operating as? I just don't get it.
Well, I mean, I'll tell you, Donald Trump told you exactly why he wanted to do it at a lunch in Pierre at the Pierre fancy restaurant in New York several months ago. He was talking to some potential donors, and he said to them, basically, fund my campaign or you're going to suffer one of the biggest tax increases in history, because he said if Biden takes over, multimillionaires and billionaires are going to be paying substantially higher taxes. And if I, Donald Trump, take over, I will make sure that you are not paying higher taxes. So he said it. He said it himself. So that's how we know he wants to do it. But we can also look at some of the plans he has. And these are radical, radical plans. Let me just lay out a couple of things. The first thing he wants to do, based on the 2025 document, which will serve as a blueprint for his tax agenda in the next, if the Republicans take over control, they want to have a 15% tax rate for anyone under $168,000 and a 30% tax rate for anybody over that. So there are two problems with that. The first one is that actually raises taxes on people making less than $170,000 a year, because we have a 10% bracket, a 12% tax bracket, et cetera now. So it's going to raise taxes on those people. That's number one. But number two, 30% on everything over $168,000. Sometimes people think, oh, a flat tax sounds like a good idea. Let's just keep it simple. Everybody pays the same amount. What people forget is that $1 million is worth $1 million. Your first one, your 1,000th million dollars does not mean as much as that first $1 million. So every additional amount of dollars that you make, the dollars become increasingly meaningless. And so as people accumulate.
Yeah, the way that I've always liked to explain this to people is when you're a billionaire, you can only buy so many like Mercedes-Benz or Rolls-Royces or Porsches or whatever your chosen luxury good is. It's the concept of diminishing marginal returns, which sounds fancy, but really isn't. It just means you actually reach a point where you can't buy any more stuff with your billions of dollars.
Well, and Maggie, I talk about it with pizza. Like if you're starving, you know, having eaten all day and somebody brings you a piece of pizza, that one piece of pizza is really important. Somebody brings you a second piece of pizza, that second piece might be important. Now imagine that you had two pieces of pizza and then somebody brings you 4 million pizzas. Those pizzas are not as important. Money's like that, which is why we should have a progressive tax system. Now, the one thing I know you may want me to wrap up our time here in a second, but let me just tell you, they want to replace this income tax. They want to leave the 30% rate in over $168,000, which will mean it'll apply to people making $10 million a year, $50 million a year, $100 million a year. Those people are not in the same bracket. And they want to replace it with a consumption tax. So every single thing you buy is going to be more important if they implement a national sales tax. They also want to reduce capital gains rates from 20% to 15%. You know who mostly makes capital gains? Rich people. Right now in the United States, if you make $100,000 working and Jeff Bezos makes $100,000 clicking a button on an E-Trade account, you, the working person, pay $9,000 more in taxes than Jeff Bezos, the multimillionaire, pays on those taxes. So those are just terrible ideas across the board. But good news, this is totally preventable, and it doesn't take that much to stop it. As you said, Maggie, all these tax cuts that they implemented in 2017 before billionaires started paying a lower effective tax rate than all the rest of the people in America, these tax cuts expire in 2025. And so if we don't do anything other than let them expire, we have a better tax system than we currently have right now. So all smart-minded Americans need to do, regardless of political party, is make sure that we have at least a divided government. If we have a divided government, they cannot pass a budget on a 51 vote reconciliation threshold, and the tax cuts for multimillionaires and billionaires will expire, and overnight America will be in a better position than it is in now. So we don't actually have to do anything to make things better, except for just prevent a full sweep of all three houses of government by a party that is here in order to eliminate their tax burden and get rid of the regulatory state. This has been the result of a multi decade strategy funded by billionaires, including the one who's been backing J.D. Vance, the new VP. Peter Thiel wants tax cuts about more than he wants anything. As to all of these billionaires, they have been engaged in a multi-decade effort to basically execute a financial and economic coup on the United States. They found their leader in Donald Trump. He is personally delighted to take advantage of any tax break he can get and doesn't mind living in the ethical gray area. And so anyway, here's where we are. Big changes coming up potentially, but the American people have a huge amount of power right now and they can use it to fix this
economy. Every single member of the House of Representatives up for election this fall, 23 Democratic senators, get out and vote, people. It matters. If you want to tax the rich, you're going to want to vote for Democrats, folks. I sure will be. Thanks so much to my special guest, Erica Payne of the Patriotic Millionaires. I'll be joined by special guest Morris Pearl, the chair of the Patriotic Millionaires, tomorrow. He's actually a rich guy, and he thinks we should tax the rich more. I'm Maggie Dawn. You're listening to the Civic Media Radio Network special coverage live from downtown Milwaukee of the 2024 RNC. Don't go anywhere. Your farm update is next.
Nobody knows more about taxes than I do.
There's something happening here, but what it is ain't exactly clear. There's a man with a gun over there telling me I got to beware. I think it's time we stop. Children, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going down.
I think we do need to stop, take a look at what's going down. I'm Maggie Dawn. You're listening to the Civic Media Radio Network. We've got special coverage of the Republican National Convention coming to you live from downtown Milwaukee. You want to check us out in the skyline? Look us up on Facebook, Instagram, and YouTube. You can watch us live. The sun is out and it is shining, but batten down the hatches, Wisconsin. Quite a storm system headed our way. Looks to be making landfall, especially here in southeastern Wisconsin, somewhere around 8, 9 o'clock tonight. I'll be taking my plants off the hangers. But let's return to the moment that we're in, folks. This last half hour is just about you and me together talking about the events of the last 3 weeks. 855-75-CIVIC, 855-752-4842. It is overwhelming, the moment that we find ourselves in. And I want to be very clear. I've always been an opponent of false equivalencies of the, oh, well, both sides do it. Nope. Nope, not a thing, really. Democrats, at least in the modern era, have not embraced political violence. That has been a branding from Donald Trump himself and the MAGA far right. You know, when you look at Christian nationalism or the Three Percenters or the Boogaloo Boys or the Proud Boys, like, there's one group that shows up, one movement that shows up in fatigues acting like they're military. It's so extreme that in talking amongst the folks here at Civic Media that are providing you coverage of the RNC, we had to be so clear to say, if someone asks you to identify themselves and they look like they may be military, it's okay to ask them for ID or to identify themselves, because you do have these militias popping up and that have been around and certainly helped bring about the violence on January 6th. So again, I don't want to hear about false equivalencies. The language of political violence has been Donald Trump's. He has been the leader of that, the brand of that. We'll see what, if any, tone change we see, but unity isn't the point. Unity in the condemnation of political violence is the point. Unity in our agreement that we can engage in political disputes nonviolently is the point. It's not simply unity in anointing Donald Trump king, as the Supreme Court did amazingly now, what, 2 weeks ago? I mean, we put all these things together. The Supreme Court declaring American presidents are king. The Supreme Court declaring that the obstruction of Congress charges can't stand against January 6th insurrectionists. Judge Aileen Cannon saying Donald Trump stealing super secret spy documents and potentially sharing them with God knows who. Well, that's not okay, because we actually don't want a special counsel investigation that's independent. I mean, this seems insane to me, this moment that we're in. And on the super secret spy documents case, I think we should understand the importance of that prosecution from none other than Trump's Attorney General bagman, Bill Barr. Let's take a listen, Brian. I'd like to go to the Face the Nation clip. This is back Bill Barr on June 13th, 2023. Then we're going to go to the phones and our text lines, folks. Join the conversation, 855-75-CIVIC, 855-752-4842. This is Trump's former Attorney General, Bill Barr, just a little over a year ago, talking about Donald Trump's spy documents case in Florida. Let's take a listen.
Well, this is not a circumstance where he's the victim or this is government overreach. He provoked this whole problem himself. Yes, he's been the victim of unfair witch hunts in the past, but that doesn't obviate the fact that he's also a fundamentally flawed person who engages in reckless conduct and that leads to situations, calamitous situations like this, which are very destructive and hurt any political cause he's associated with. And this was a case that entirely of his own making. He had no right to those documents. Government tried for over a year quietly and with respect to get them back, which was essential that they do. And he jerked them around. And he had no legal basis for keeping them. But beyond that, When he faced a subpoena, he didn't raise any legal arguments. He engaged in a course of deceitful conduct, according to the indictment, that was a clear crime if those allegations are true, and was outrageous. What he did was, according to the indictment, he took the documents out of storage, led his lawyer to believe that he'd be conducting a full search of the boxes, and then caused his lawyer to file with the court something saying that he had completed a search.
How strong is the special counsel's case on obstruction specifically?
Well, it's very strong because a lot of the evidence comes from his own lawyers. And furthermore, there's evidence of him saying things that are completely incompatible with any idea that this was an innocent document dispute.
Do you believe he lied to the Justice Department?
Do I personally believe it? Yes, I do.
There you have it. That's Donald Trump's former bagman, Attorney General Bill Barr, basically saying the guy did it. It's a crime. He intended to commit the crime, and it's a very serious crime. But somehow, Judge Aileen Cannon, let's not really talk about the merits, folks. Let's spend 93 pages quibbling about whether or not special counsels should investigate presidents, you know, independently, something that I thought would be a universally accepted good idea. Not so, says Aileen Cannon. If we want to talk about two legal systems, we sure have them. One for Donald Trump and billionaires, and one for all of the rest of us. A Supreme Court with no ethics, certainly not any ethics that can be enforced. Just go ask them. They've been saying that repeatedly. An assassination attempt. Supreme Court saying presidents are king. We've got a Supreme Court also saying that, don't worry, bribing public officials is fine as long as you give them the money after they do the thing that you wanted them to do and you call it a gratuity. It's a tip, no problem. Let's see. Also, we can't regulate guns, but we can regulate my ovaries. And fetuses are entitled to 14th Amendment protections, but women aren't. Yes, it is a sad state of affairs. Indeed, let's go to the phones. Thank you, Cam, for being patient. What do you have to say this afternoon?
Hey, yeah, so just listening to everything that's going on, people are absolute animals. They push misinformation constantly on the internet. As soon as information came out about the assassination attempt, it started getting muddy immediately. One of the things that it took a while for me to figure out from reading from people that I know actually, like, check their sources and check their information, the gentleman who tried to do the assassination and failed, he was registered as Republican and voted in one of the Republican elections at some point. When he was 17, they think he donated to a super PAC, but I don't think they accept money unless you're 18 or older. So it might have been another gentleman in the same zip code with the same last name. But it was a Republican that tried to assassinate him. I think that that lets the left a little bit more off the hook anyways, as if they were even in the first place collectively, that people don't understand nuance. But then aside from that, why was someone in their own party willing to go and shoot President or ex-President Trump? That doesn't... Nothing about that tracks. Why aren't people asking that more?
I have not yet been able to read news reports to confirm that the shooter was indeed a registered Republican, so I'm going to reserve judgment on that. I will simply say this. Someone who is crazy enough to try to assassinate a presidential candidate has no political party, has no place in an American democracy. They aren't Republican or Democratic. They're crazy. There's someone who is embracing the very antithesis of democracies and freedoms. We express our disputes, again, through words, not weapons, and at ballot boxes, not with bullets. That shooter has no party. And for those on the right to lay responsibility for that act of insanity that goes against our most fundamental democratic principles, to make that a partisan call, to blame Democrats or Joe Biden, is simply perpetuating the rhetoric that Donald Trump has made the MAGA brand, that has brought us to this place. It should be condemned.
If
some
I may,
of the language, yes, please, yeah, Brian.
I'd love to say what I always say whenever there's a shooting, because there's one every couple months or so, if not sooner. And I want to push back a little bit on what you had said. Well, I agree with this, has no place, and this person has no party. This person was one of us. This person is a product of our society, the society that we live in, the society that we tolerate. We get what we tolerate, and we have tolerated this for way too long, and so it's all of us. It's not one party. It's every single person here, and I have to add on to that and say that there is only one group of people who have done anything to change their behavior, to change their modes of operation, to make things better, and that is our children and their teachers. Those are the only people who have been made to change or do anything to stop any sort of gun violence in this country. And so I don't want to hear anything about whose party is this. It's ours. It's all of us. It's every single one of us that tolerates this on the daily.
Well said, Brian. That's Brian Kelly, my producer. We want to hear from you. I'm Maggie Dawn. You're listening to Civic Media's special coverage of the Republican National Convention live from downtown Milwaukee. You can join our conversation, 855-75-CIVIC, 855-752-4842. Mark from Prairie to Sac, what do you have to say, sir?
Thanks, Maggie. Yeah, I'm just glad that this guy was hadn't equipped his AR-style rifle with a bump stock, because otherwise the death toll would have been far higher. You know, that it's just sad there, and that it's just a cavalcade of nonsense from the Republicans these days, the Republican allied ones these days. The whole Supreme Court thing, where it's a complete errors and usurpations are uncontrollable and remedialess, to borrow from Alexander Hamilton's Federalist 81. Where the court has decided a president is now a king, and Eileen Cannon has overlooked the whole fact that Donald Trump violated the law. He stole those documents, probably opened those documents up to whoever the hell wanted to look at them when they're stored willy-nilly at Mar-a-Lago, and I guess the only solution now is to let the public know exactly, you know, publish every day all the pictures of, you know, the publicly available photographs of all those documents lying willy-nilly, and give out the non-critical information about how it has impacted, that information likely got out there, impacted our national security by who knows who got that information and used it against the interests of the United States because Donald Trump was careless with that information. And I still want to know what the hell happened. The briefing book that was supposedly above top secret information and that walked off with one of Trump's lackeys.
Yeah, the scariest thing about the super secret spy documents case, Mark, is that we don't know what we don't know. We don't know who it was shown to. So very dangerous. Some have speculated in the intelligence community that it would have been possible for foreign agents to effectively triangulate around potential sources for some of those super secret spy documents, which would then lead a very clear trail of breadcrumbs to particularly highly placed intelligence officials and has likely led to the death of U.S. intelligence assets abroad. I mean, that is what we're talking about, a president putting American lives at risk for what? No one's ever been able to answer. Do we have all the documents? And what the heck was he doing with them in the first place? Like, why do you take those? We know that he showed documents, highly classified documents, to reporters. He mentioned some of our nation's military secrets to the Prime Minister of Australia. And this is acceptable from a presidential candidate? No. We're going to take a quick moment, take a couple of important messages. We're going to hear a little bit more from Bill Barr when we come back, and I will give you some good news. I'm Maggie Dawn. This is the Civic Media Radio Network coming to you live from downtown Milwaukee at the Republican National Convention. Stay put, everybody.
Let's have Trump.
Stayed in bed all morning just to pass the time. There's something wrong here, there can be no denying. One of us is changing.
Welcome back, Wisconsin.
Or maybe we just stop trying.
Don't stop trying. I'm Maggie Dawn. You're listening to the Civic Media Radio Network, our special coverage of the Republican National Convention, coming to you live from downtown Milwaukee. We will have you covered throughout the convention. You can tune into Civic Media tonight and every night of the convention from 7 to 8 p.m. We'll bring you effectively the primetime happenings down at the Fiserv Forum. And of course, you can see all of Civic Media's coverage of the RNC by heading over to civicmedia.us/RNC. That's civicmedia.us/RNC. Steady Eddie texting in and basically saying what we're seeing now is a slow motion revolution, effectively of the billionaire class. Yep, that's what we've got. The billionaire class, you know, as sanctified by Donald Trump and now enshrined by the Supreme Court, a president that is king, tax cuts adding trillions to the deficit, but not trickling down because that was always a lie and they knew it. Tax cuts just help the rich get richer while all of us continue to go to work because we don't tax wealth like we tax work. I'm going to be joined by Morris Pearl, chair of the Patriotic Millionaires. He himself is a rich guy, and his opinion is we should be taxing rich guys like him more. Don't miss that. Morris Pearl, one of my special guests tomorrow. I also am really excited to announce that I will be joined at the top of my show tomorrow by former Lieutenant Governor and former Senate candidate Mandela Barnes and J.B. Van Hollen, former Republican Attorney General of the state of Wisconsin. They're members of the Democracy Defense Project. I can think of no better guest to help us understand the seriousness of this moment and the seriousness of purpose that we all must have in defending democracy and what our responsibilities should be as citizens and, more importantly, voters. Someone who has abrogated their responsibility entirely seems to be Trump lackey Judge Aileen Cannon. Can't judge her way out of a cardboard box, it seems. And this is on a case that is so very important to our national security secrets. If presidents, you know, are immune and former presidents can steal our super secret spy documents, doesn't bode well for American national security. And again, you don't have to take my word for it. Let's take a listen to Bill Barr. This is on Fox News, June 11th, 2023.
If even half of it is true, then he's toast. It's a very detailed indictment, and it's very, very damning. And this idea of presenting Trump as a victim here, a victim of a witch hunt, is ridiculous.
Yeah. Even if half of it is true, Donald Trump is toast. But thanks to Aileen Cannon, the American public will never see the evidence. Tested in court, our agreed-upon system for resolving disputes and in determining those that are guilty from not guilty, we all as voters will be deprived of our right to see the evidence against the former president, courtesy of Aileen Cannon. Make no mistake, the delay was always, always, always the point. This really truly represents an expansion of presidential power beyond anything we've ever known in modern American history. And Judge Cannon's decision is yet another brick in that wall being erected by the Supreme Court. There's no balance of powers. It's an imbalance of powers. Oh, and there on the horizon looms, of course, the Heritage Foundation with Project 2025, which is de facto the RNC platform for this fall election, which further proposes to empower an executive to politicize the entirety of federal government to serve the personal preferences of Donald Trump, a man who doesn't care about unity. I don't care what he says. He cares about loyalty. We'll be unified, but only if you agree with Donald Trump. Again, that's not the way democracy is supposed to work. But I promised you all a bit of good news, and so here it is. As of today, the prosecution against Donald Trump for the super secret spy secrets that he stole, yeah, that prosecution's not over. Here's what I think Jack Smith is going to do. Oh, okay, I can't prosecute you as a special prosecutor. Well, I'll just hand it off to a U.S. attorney in New Jersey, Washington, D.C., or the Southern District of Florida, and let them simply refile the charges. Again, the case is going to take a while because the evidence is so voluminous. But the underlying criminal action is not complicated. You took documents that weren't yours, that contained highly sensitive national security information. The government asked you nicely, quietly, respectfully, for a year to give them back, and you didn't. And then you had your two lackeys try to hide them from the FBI. It's a crime, no questions asked. Now, if we all agree that ex-presidents shouldn't be able to steal our super secret spy documents, we think that should be pretty clear. That when they're asked nicely to give back our super secret spy documents, that they should do so. And if they keep them and lie about it, they should be criminally prosecuted. And in the end, if we also agree that Americans should be able to see the evidence of such a crime in a court of law, then folks, that resolves your big electoral dilemma this November, because it means a vote for Joe Biden is necessary to help preserve and protect democracy. It is that simple. So my good news is, hey, I think Jack Smith will simply hand over the case to a U.S. attorney and let them bring it. Now, venue could be established in the D.C. Circuit, also the District of New York, because Bedminster is located in the District of New Jersey, because Bedminster, his golf club, is in New Jersey. That's where some of the documents were transported to. And of course, a U.S. attorney could file in the Southern District of New York. Now, given Judge Cannon's record, I don't think that'll happen. But I just wanted to share with you a statement given to the Washington Post by one person close to Trump, calling him, quote, the luckiest man on earth. We can change his luck, folks, with your vote this November. To save our democracy, we must use our democracy. That is the pathway forward. The Devil's Advocates Radio is next here on the Civic Media Radio Network. My name is Maggie Dawn. You've been listening to our special coverage of the 2024 RNC. Remember, I'll stand up for you. I hope you stand up for me. But it's always better when we stand together.
Well, history is written by the winner, so it largely depends on who's writing the history.